Now, if you got your Bible, let's look at Ephesians 4. We've read these so much, a lot of us might could just quote the whole chapter nearly. Verse 17 through 32. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Gentiles was those without a covenant with God. "In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." He says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man." Now we would translate that today, putting off the former conduct right. of the old man.
Yes.
He didn't say God's going to put him off for you, right?
That's right.
He says, "Now I'm born again, I have a new nature, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, but I have to put off that person. I have to identify with the new man." That's why he says, if you walk in all these things like the other Gentiles, you're not identifying with that new man. You're not identifying with Christ. Why? He don't think like that. He don't talk like that. He don't act like that, right?
Amen.
It says, put him off. It says, verse 23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man." Now, we have to learn who and what's in that new man. Number one, we have to identify with Christ. I'm no longer the person that I used to be.
Amen.
I might look the same when I look in the mirror. I might still have some of the same thoughts, some of the same ways, but I'm not the person that I used to be. So I've got to stop identifying with that person. That old man used to have an anger problem. Bad one. Harry knows my new man doesn't have an anger problem, right. but I can still yield to one if I choose to.
That's right.
And the devil hopes that I do. But let's go on here. He says, verse 24, "that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sin go down upon your wrath." He says, "neither give place to the devil." So we see that lying is going to give place to the devil, right? That's not of Christ. Christ don't lie. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." We don't damn things like what we used to.
Right.
See, those are not, we call them cuss words. You know, four-letter words and all those other things. Those things are not as bad as damning your car or damning, hitting your toe and saying, "your damn toe." Do you understand? They're not cuss words. The devil likes it when we call them those things. They're curse words. The Bible says life and death is in the power of my tongue. I can bless my life or someone else's, or I can curse it.
That's right.
He says, "but now those things that come out of my mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers and bring out the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath," there's anger again, "and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So in other words, because I've been forgiven, I did what?
Forgive.
I forgive. Right? Why? Because that's Christ's life. Don't mean that what the person did to me is okay, and don't mean I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it again.
Right?
But I'm not going to hold a grudge against you, right?
Amen.
Now go over to Ephesians 6, verse 10. He says, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In other words, we have a strong relationship with him and confidence in him. He says, "put on the whole armor of God." Now we already talked about these. It says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles, that's what we stand against, means his trickery. He's very crafty, the Bible talked about in the book of Genesis. There's nobody any trickier or cunning or crafty than him. So we stand against his lies, right? His tricks. He goes on and he says, verse 12, "for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, we know, we've already looked at some of the scriptures. If the devil can't get to you, what's he do? Y'all don't know? Try to use your best friend. Try to use those that are closest to you. Just like Jesus himself, Whenever the devil couldn't get to him, what did he do? He tried to use that inner circle. Always, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. He had 12 close, intimate ones, but then there was Peter, James, and John that was his even more closer that he would take at other places, right? So he comes to Peter. Peter had a revelation that he's the Christ, but then Peter is the one that began to rebuke the Lord when he began to tell him, this is the will of God, I've got to go, I've got to suffer, I've got to die, I'll rise from the grave, you know, and all that stuff. And Peter was used by Satan and said, far be it from you, Lord. Why? Because the devil's trying to get him out of doing the will of God.
Right.
See, it ain't about you doing drugs. You know, it's
right.
It ain't just about you committing adultery. It ain't just about you sinning. We're going to see here, there's more way to it, more than just him trying to tempt you to do certain things that the Bible calls sin. There's a reason for what he does. Now, let's go over to James 4. Look at this right quick. We've looked at this verse, but we're going to look at it again. James 4, 7, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does that mean? The word submit means I don't like it, but I'm going to do it.
Right.
Well, I like to hear that one in the church today.
Right.
They used to have what they called church mothers. Church fathers, y'all ain't saying nothing. You know why they call them that? Because if you come in that door and your skirt is way too short, you're going to go home and you're going to change, or I'm going to tear your tail up.
Amen.
Well, you ain't my mama. Yes, she was. And it wasn't just about measuring your skirt. You understand what I'm saying? They was mothers. The Apostle Paul, he told him, he said, you may have 10,000 instructors in the Lord. He said, but not many fathers. He didn't say one father, right? He said, you might not won't have many fathers. What does that mean? What does a father and a mother do? What is their job in the natural?
Teach you.
To protect, to protect, to teach, to train up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, right?
Right.
But we won't do none of that today. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Right. Right.
We don't want nobody telling me what to do.
Right.
I know the Lord for myself. The Bible says we all know the Lord. Well, yeah, we do. But he didn't do away with fivefold ministry, right? He didn't do away with teachers or pastors or instructors or any of those things. Why? Because they're still needful today.
Amen.
But we don't want to hear none of that submit. What do you mean submit? I hear for the Lord for myself. Well, so does your kid, but you still get to tell them what to do, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we better move on. But the word submit, it means I bring myself, because can't nobody make you submit. You might make your kids sit down, but inside they might still be standing straight up.
Right.
That's right.
All you done was bent them to your will on the outwards, inside, I mean outward. But the word submit means I don't want to, but I will do it. I choose, I've an act of my own will, I will yield my will to your will.
Yes.
So he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We was talking a little bit about this yesterday, my mama and sister and all of them. I don't like everything that goes on here. Sometimes I don't even want to come here myself. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I just tell y'all like it is. Sometimes I would like to just be in a big church. Nobody knows who I am. I just walk in the door. I sing praises to the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Listen to a good message and turn around and go out the door like some of y'all get today. But guess what? That's not going to last forever.
Right.
Because some of y'all going to start doing something too. Why? Because in a natural house, you get married, your husband and a wife, you have kids, you do everything for those kids while they're what?
Babies.
Those are newborn babies. They get born again into the body of Christ. But then as they grow and they develop, then you're like, go pick them toys up. Well, I don't want to pick them up. It don't matter. Get in there picking toys up. Why? Because now you're big enough to pick up your own toys. I don't need to pick up your toys all the time. Well, I didn't get all of them out. It don't matter. Pick them up anyway. Y'all not saying that.
Amen.
I'm just wondering if you were at the house this morning.
God bless. He's always at the house.
Amen.
He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Number one, do his will. Whether you like it or whether you don't. Listen, it don't matter. If God tells you to go to church somewhere, it don't matter if you see things wrong there.
Right.
Oh, I ain't saying nothing. Well, I tell you right now, I'm not going somewhere they don't live better than I do. I didn't see that in the scriptures. I'm sorry. What was that? First imaginations.
Right.
I'm supposed to submit my will to his will, even if I don't agree with it, even if, why? There's protection in it. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. He says, then you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot tell the devil to go and him have to go if you're not submitting to the will of God.
That's right.
Because there's only two ways. If you're not submitting to God, you are yielding to the devil.
That's right.
And when you tell him go, he don't go. He don't have to go.
Right.
He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. What does that mean, resist the devil? Well, we resist lying because we know that's not of God, right? The Bible tells us that Satan is the father of lies. He invented lying. So therefore, we don't yield ourselves to lying, even if we want to. We don't. Well, we don't have to.
That's right.
We can, but we don't have to, right? Other things that we know that is not like God. Like we read in the scriptures over there, he said, you did not so learn Christ. Now, look at James 1. We started getting into this a little bit last week, and I kept trying to move past it, and I couldn't. Y'all think I just enjoy reading those, and I say a little bit, go back to it, read it again, say a little bit more? I'm not. I'm really trying to move on. But I just work here. Verse 1, he says, James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Those that have been here a while, y'all remember that Scotty read this scripture one time. I think it may have been last year or year before. That when you fall into divers temptations, you go, woohoo!
I don't know any of us that does that. Maybe Johnny.
All joy when you fall into divers temptations. This is how you can count it joy. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your what?
Faith.
This is going to be very important. Because we're going to see how the devil tries. This is his main thing he tries to take from us during our trials and our tests and the reason why he wants us to sin. He went on and he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it does what? It works patience. It's working something on the inside of you.
That's right.
He goes on and he says, but let, so that means I can stop it, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. He says, and if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how?
In faith.
Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Amen.
For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now listen to this in Amplified. It says, blessed, happy to be envied is the man who is patient. We read that verse up there. Under trial and stands up under temptation. In other words, what does that mean? I don't yield to it. I submit to God. I resist the temptation, which is resisting the devil, because he is the tempter, we're going to see. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Amen.
13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. I have heard people stand up and say God's tempting them. That's a lie.
Amen.
He says here, God don't tempt anybody.
Right.
Now, you read over in the New Testament, I can't think of right now exactly where it said. It may be in Proverbs. It says,
God tries or tests the heart to see what you will do, but he's not tempting you or
enticing you to do evil. Never.
Right.
He cannot.
Right.
It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God never tempts you to do wrong, ever. But every man is tempted when?
He is drawn away with his own lust.
So we can't even say the devil made me do it because the devil came. He ain't got that kind of power. Now, I told y'all last week, this is how, let me read that in the Amplified, because it says it the way I think about it. 14. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed and baited by. Whatever, if he can get around it, he's going all the way around it, and he uses everything in that tackle box. That's way too much work for me. I don't like that. I like to get in my chair, put me something on here, I'm going to throw it out there, put me a cork on there, and I'm going to sit here sipping my drink. He throws bait after bait. After a few times of that one, he has what they call top water spinners. You can see them. They're just spinning on the top of the water. Makes these little ripples or whatever. A few times of that, if they ain't nothing biting that, he takes that off, he puts something else on there. He has these little things he calls them crappie jigs, and you do them like this. With your fishing rod. You don't reel them, you jerk them. Well, if ain't nothing biting that, he takes that off, and then you got these long worms that he'll throw on there. Then he puts that out there, and then he'll move it a certain way for that kind of bait. Do you realize that's exactly what the devil does to us?
That's right.
Why? Because he says that we are tempted when there's something that's on the inside of us that is not the will of God.
Right.
No, he said that. Every one of us is born into sin. We are born with a certain bent toward a certain kind of sin. That's right. How come you have people, they are born, and from the little bitty age, they feel like they're a male and they're attracted to other males. And that you'll hear him say, God made me this way. No, he didn't. That's a lie.
Amen.
I can agree with you. You may feel this way. You may have this strong desire or whatever. But God never made you that way.
That's
God,
right.
Everything he made was absolutely perfect.
Right.
But because we was in Adam and Eve, when they sinned, we sinned also. And we was born into sin, the Bible says. That's why we must be born again and get a new nature.
Amen.
So you may feel like that. You may be attracted to that. But that is not God.
That's
not of God. That's of the devil. And you was born into that. So you must be born again. And I mean, in all kinds of other things. I said, you know, about smoking last week, I want to smoke as long as I can remember. I still want to smoke sometimes. And I mean, it is absolutely nasty to me to smell that. It's just awful smelling. But does that stop me from sometimes wanting to smoke? No.
Right.
You know, I know people have been quit 10 and 12 years. And the whole time, every now and then, they would have a desire to smoke. And the devil is kind of, he's kind of like the credit card people. I just thought about this. Sandy's like, right, she already knows. Y'all get credit card invitations in the mail.
Yeah.
You can have bad credit. They don't care.
Right.
They'll just walk up the interest rate and still let you have some credit.
Right.
And they keep sending them and sending them and sending them and sending them and sending them. They'll spend thousands of dollars by mail sending you credit card applications. Why? Because they're hoping sooner or later when you get it out of the mailbox, you got a bad day. They're banking on it.
Yeah.
So they'll spend thousands to make millions, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's what the devil does. He keeps throwing out those different lures. We read about how he came and he tempted Jesus, and the Bible says at the end of the temptation when he wouldn't yield to him, it says he left him for a more opportune time.
Right.
That's how come there's people that, I mean, I use this one because that's what I know. It's what I've seen in different things, you know. Some people, they go along 10, 12 years, keep saying no to the temptation when it would come up to smoke a cigarette. But then that one day, you're not full. Y'all ain't saying that.
Amen.
Well, I thought we're just supposed to go to church and y'all do all of our praying for us and our reading for us and rebuking the devil. This ain't how it works, honey. I got my own homework today.
Amen.
And we're all supposed to be growing and developing. Right? All supposed to be reading our Bible. All supposed to be saying no to temptation.
Right.
You know, the devil don't even, God don't even rebuke the devil for you.
No.
No. He said, you go in my name. I give you the authority. Now you go and you tell him what to do.
That's right.
Right? Oh my goodness. I don't even remember where we at. Oh yeah. Every man is tempted. So you can go 10 and 12 years that you've been quit smoking. It don't have to be smoking. It could be, like I said, addicted to brownies or whatever. You know, I don't like those brownies anymore, Sandy. You know why? I quit feeding that beast.
Amen.
And when you're slacking off or quitting feeding.
I mean, say no to that brownie. I mean, you wouldn't think a little thing that is absolutely nothing could
have that much control. can that you yield to. And listen, I don't have a problem with sweets now. Most of the time I don't even eat sweets every now and then. But guess what? They're still there. And he's helping. I have a bad day. And it comes. Listen, I have bought a pack of them. This is years ago. About this long, I guess. And it's Reese cups. Individual Reese cup packs. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And been standing in my kitchen sink. Eating those Reese cups, just about to cry and thinking, God, I have got to quit doing this. I've got to stop. I'm serious. I kid you not. I'm not exaggerating one bit. And just about cry because I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You understand? It doesn't have to be sex. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It's whatever I yielded myself to. That's going to get stronger in my life. And God doesn't want us controlled by anything except Him. And when we yield to Him, it brings us always to freedom.
Right.
But anytime we don't yield to Him, we're going to come into bondage. And God doesn't want that for us.
Nope.
He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Jesus is the truth. The Word is the truth, right?
Yes.
So we go on here, and He says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So I have to put to death those things in my life that's not the will of God. Because God's not going to put them to death. He's done giving me the power. He will help me. That's like when I lost all that weight that time when they told me I was a diabetic and I couldn't take the medicine and I knew shots would be the next step. And I cannot stand needles. I'm not going to do it. And I would get on that treadmill because I don't like exercise. Y'all can tell by looking at me now. But because of that, I had to do something. I had to, because I'm not going to the needles. I'm just, I can't do that. I would get on that treadmill and I would say, Holy Spirit, help me. Please, I just ask you. The Bible says He is our helper, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you read New Testament, it'll tell you everything He does for us. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our standby. He's our strengthener. I mean, all kinds of stuff. He's there for us. Then we also, the Bible talks about we have angels that minister to us, that
yes.
work for us, right? Those that are sent for to help the sons of God and minister to them.
Right.
The Bible talks about how when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He prayed and He got through praying, how the angel came and ministered to Him.
Yes.
I mean, so we're not in this thing alone by ourselves.
Right.
But we have to ask Him for help.
Amen.
Why? Because He's not like the devil. He don't just step in and take control.
That's right.
Even if it's for a good thing in my life. And I would say, I would pray and I'd say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to exercise. Help me to do the smile or whatever I was doing at the time. And then all the other exercises. And I would say, help me to eat right. Help me. Give me the knowledge of what I need to eat. Because it's not just about losing weight.
Right.
I don't need to just lose weight at the time. And even now, it's about being healthy. If you eat the healthy stuff in the right amount, the pounds will come off.
Yep.
I promise, they will. Yep. But I had to ask Him to help me. And then when I would be eating something, and I would have this feeling of that's enough, don't go past that.
Yep.
Y'all looking at me funny. Don't go past it. Well, I know it, but... Well, you're going right back, bypass the Holy Ghost. I thought you wanted help.
Right.
Well, I do, but sometimes what we want is do it for me. He's not going to do it. He's the helper. He's not to do it for you.
That's right.
He says, let no man say, but every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So I need to be put to death, stop feeding those things in my life that is not the will of God. Why? Because if you don't want a stray cat, don't ever feed it. We're going to move on past this. He goes on and he says, 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is complete light. He don't turn around and cause a shadow.
Right.
I mean, He's like a lighthouse. The whole thing, every way He turns, is complete light. Of His own will, He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, I guess. Excuse me. See, a lot of times we don't want to talk about this in the church. Why? It makes me feel uncomfortable. Makes me feel uncomfortable if you get on something that I'm doing. Yeah, wait, Sam. It always did me. That's why when He comes, he'll say something and it'll be like, you can feel it. He'll be like, say amen around me.
That's,
you know, because there's nothing else to say. But we don't like it. It makes us feel uncomfortable. But God's not doing it necessarily to make us feel uncomfortable or to point people out. He's not into embarrassing people or anything. We have whatever the church doesn't talk about, the world's going to get you in.
That's right.
You know, the world doesn't, I mean, the church a lot of times don't like to talk about sex when there's kids or teenagers. If we don't, listen, the world is teaching them.
That's right.
They go into sin. I don't know how Aubrey's learned some of the words she's learned. I don't know where she got it from. She didn't get them at my house, Johnny.
Right.
They say she didn't get them from their house. She got them from somewhere. The only other place I know the kid goes is to school. So whatever the church doesn't talk about, the devil, he likes that. Because he'll make sure we hear about it. But 1 Corinthians 10. I think I want to start in verse 11. Now, before all of this, it's talking about the children of Israel and the things they went through and stuff like that and problems they had. But here, for time's sake, in verse 11, he says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples." It says, "And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall," because why? That would be pride.
Yeah. Right.
"I'm always subject to falling if the Lord doesn't show me. I don't see right by myself."
That's right.
"There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Now let me say this, how a lot of the church says this. God won't put no more on you than you can bear. Is that what we just read?
Yeah.
Let's read it again. Let me make sure here. 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God won't put any more on you than you can bear." Johnny's going like this. Some of y'all looking at me like, I don't know what the right answer is. Let's read it again. It said, listen, this is called Sunday school.
Amen.
For a reason, right?
Amen.
It says, "There hath no temptation." We just got through reading about temptation, right? God says, "I don't tempt no man to do evil," right? And I looked up the word temptation, and it means the exact same thing. This temptation means the exact same thing as the other temptation we just read. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." God won't put any more on you than you can bear.
That's it.
Don't say that.
Doesn't say that, but the devil's counting on, you know, the one that says, "God won't put any more on you than you can bear."
Right.
Honey, God's not putting it on you to begin with.
Amen.
He's not the burden putting on her.
That's right.
He's not the tempter to do evil. Right? We read the scripture.
Right.
Jesus said that his burden is what?
Light.
It's light.
Light.
It's not hard. It's not harsh. It's not heavy. God's not putting stuff on us. God is the one that takes the stuff off of us.
Amen.
But see how the devil's such a liar? The Bible, we read the scripture and read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. We stand against what? The wiles, the tricks, the traps, the snares, the trickery, the deceptions, the deceits, the lies of the devil. A half-truth is a whole lie.
Right.
A half-scripture is a whole lie.
Right.
Now let's read this on here. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." That's the faithfulness of God, he said. He goes on and he says, "Above that you are able. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now let me read it here in the Amplified. Amplified says, "For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin." What did we just read about that over there in James, right?
Yeah.
Every man's tempted when he's drawn away and enticed of his own lust. It says, "No matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear." Now, what does this mean? God is faithful that he will not allow the devil to pull anything out of his bag of tricks that he wasn't able to use from the beginning of time.
Right.
It's common to man. The Bible talks about, and we'll read the scripture if we have time, Jesus himself was tempted in all points just as me and you.
That's
and you
right.
can say, well, he didn't have a wife. It don't matter. Yeah. Do you understand you don't have to have a wife to be tempted in the same way than when you do have a wife?
Right.
Darcy's tempted in some same ways and she ain't got no husband. Don't want no husband.
Right.
You might say, well, Jesus didn't have this, or Jesus, he didn't have to have that. There's only, what is it, 3 or 4 that the Bible talks about? What is it over there? 1 John, I'm thinking, maybe around chapter 5, that he tells 3, that he talks about all that. Yeah. It is a, listen, just like this, you'll hear people say, or I have heard people say before, you know, well, you know, if you've never really been a drug addict, you can't minister to drug addicts, you know, because you don't know how they feel. Y'all not saying nothing. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
How do I know that? Jesus was never a drug addict, April.
That's right.
Amen. And he knows exactly how every drug addict feels.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So God can call me to minister to drug addicts and me never done a drug in my entire life. Why?
Lord
it's
God,
not based
yes.
on my human experience.
Right.
It's based on the will of God and what
yes.
he's called me to do, that he anoints me to do it.
Amen.
Right.
But see how the devil lies? I mean, he traps some people with that. Because I've been an alcoholic, I need to go back and minister to alcoholics. Not unless the Lord told you to. You better stay your tail away from them.
That's right.
But now, if he tells you to, that's a different story.
That's right.
You've got the grace and you've got the anointing to go in there and minister to every alcoholic there and get them free.
Amen.
But if he didn't tell you to, you better stay away from him. Why? Because we get into this soulish realm, and Cindy, I'm going through a divorce, and you're going through a divorce, so we need to hook up and just talk about our ex-husbands. Because you know how I feel. You've been there.
Mm-mm.
The devil is a liar. I better stay away from her. She better stay away from me. Why? I need to be telling Jesus how I feel.
Amen.
And he'll be telling me what I need to feel and what I need to cut off and not be feeling. Right? I don't need to allow myself to feel every emotion that comes to me.
Amen.
I was talking a little bit yesterday, you know, about thoughts and thinking about the past and different things like that. And somebody starts crying, you know, and I told them, I said, well, I have the same feeling, you know. I wish my kids was little and this, that, and another, you know. Or my kid was, I remember when he was little, you know, and you miss that, you know, because he's not like my little kid anymore. And he's not a kid.
Right.
He's my man, you know, or he's a man supposed to be or whatever. So if you're not careful, that takes my mind back to Sandy, what I coulda, shoulda, woulda done.
That's right.
And every place that I messed up, the devil's going to make sure I remember that.
Yeah.
And I can't do nothing about it, so why think about it, feel it, and cry?
Amen.
It's a trap of the devil, that's why.
Yes.
And he's hoping I'll just yield to it. Yeah. Just think about it, why? Because thoughts move into feelings, and feelings move me.
Yes.
In my decisions. And I can't change them, so why do I want to think about them?
Right.
It's a lie. Stop. Whatever you used to do. I don't listen to secular music. The reason being, not because the Bible says it's sin. I just don't listen to it because what I listen to will take my mind back and I will remember.
Right.
Oh, well, I was smoking a joint
that's
with them,
right.
you know, and I was with this guy and I was doing that. And I remember when that song was playing, so-and-so was talking about. Y'all see what I'm talking about?
Right.
Takes my mind back. Why? That's what he wants to do.
Yep.
I'm supposed to be casting down imaginations, and he's the one trying to cause imaginations.
Right.
So don't think about the past. I don't care if you was good. The Apostle Paul was. He said, I'm throwing all that stuff out, good or bad.
Yes.
I consider it all done. Everything I've learned, everything I knew, everything I thought, being so religious and all that, I do away with every bit of it. So I don't care if you've been good, never smoked a joint, drunk a beer, forget it, because it got you nothing.
Right.
It's all on Jesus, right?
Right?
But he says here, it says that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. That means it comes to everybody. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, or he will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. So you can't say the devil made me do it.
Right.
This verse says right here, God won't allow him to bring anything to you that you can't say no to or that you can't resist.
Amen.
Right? Now, I might not can in my own strength. That's why he goes over there to the scripture over there in Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord. Right? In the power of his might. The Apostle Paul, he said, when I am weak, then am I made strong. Because there's going to come a time in my life that I can't do it no more. I've got to have supernatural strength. I've got to have supernatural wisdom. I've got to have supernatural ability. Why? Because this is just a natural carnal life that I live. We're fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. I'm not just fighting against flesh and blood and people and different natural things like that. Let's go over to Luke 22, I think. I have come to find out that when I feel like, oh, I've got that wolf, that's under control, you know, that's not a problem. I have a problem. Yeah. See, I quit smoking before April years and years ago. Had been quit, I think, a year and 3 months. And the Lord helped me. I didn't do it all by myself, you know. And I started having this feeling and these thoughts about people that smoked. I wasn't paying no attention to them. Y'all ain't saying that. Y'all don't ever overcome anything and then be like those that are still in something like,
Yeah.
Just get yourself up like I did.
Right.
Honey, you didn't get yourself up to start with.
That's right.
And lo and behold, I found myself, things happened. My nerves was reacting. I come out of the hospital and I thought, I'm going to smoke just one. My nerves, I can't take it, man. I'll tell you, I'm going to smoke just one. I smoked one, Johnny, and it led to years again.
Right.
Yep.
On down the road. Did the same thing with doing drugs. God had delivered me. I didn't do drugs or anything. And there was some people lived up behind me, and they was doing drugs and all this stuff. And I can see myself right now standing in our trailer looking out this little diamond-shaped window up there at their house and just thinking, I'm telling you right now, they need to go to church. They need Jesus. And they do. The Bible says, don't say, speak the truth. Do y'all know that? The Bible says, speaking the truth in love. It's found over there in Ephesians. I can slice you and dash you with a word.
Right.
Y'all ain't saying nothing. But the word spoken, the truth of God's word spoken in love doesn't slice and dice.
That's right.
It builds up, it strengthens, it encourages, it even convicts at times.
Right.
Never condemns. Right?
Amen.
But it does all of that other. Now over here in Luke 20, what did I tell you, 22?
Yes.
Let's see here what verse we'll start in. I think it's verse 39. No. Yeah, I'll just tell y'all all these verses before it. Now, this goes all the way back to verses about 30, 31 or so, where Jesus says, I mean, Peter's rebuking Jesus, you know, not to go do the will of God, you know, far be it from you and all that. And he comes on down and Jesus tells him. No. Hang on a second. Let me make sure I may have wrote this down wrong. 31, I think. Yeah, 31. I'm sorry. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, when Jesus calls your name twice, you better pay attention.
Right.
He says, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.
Mm.
Stop here a second. I don't know about y'all, but I remember when I was a kid, Granny, she had this thing called a sifter. Y'all remember your parents or grandparents having them? They're kind of round. It's open on this end. It got a screen in the middle and open on the other end. And it's got a little crank thing that you turn it like this.
Right.
So what you do is you pour your flour in the top and you turn it. Why do you do that? Because you're sifting it up. You're getting out all the little pieces, you know, maybe that you made a biscuit before and it's kind of a hard little ball or anything that's not going to be thin like that powder.
Right.
Why? Because you don't want that in there. So what is that made for? What it does is separates.
That's right.
It separates the flour I'm wanting for anything else that I don't want in there. And notice what he says. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But notice what he says. But I have prayed for thee that thy what?
Faith.
That's what he's after. The Bible says in Hebrews, I think it's 6, It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
That's right.
And you'll hear people say, well, you can't do enough for God. You can always do more. That's not so. That's not so. That would be saying, my father's never pleased, Sandy, when nothing I've done, it's never good enough. And that's a lie.
That's right.
If I'm doing everything I know and the best of my ability, he is well pleased with me.
Amen.
But the devil, he'll tell you that. You didn't read enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't fast long enough. You fasted 40 days. I think Johnny may have been on a fast here a while back. He did tell us. I don't know. He's shaking. Is that right, Johnny?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we're getting a little concerned about you there. But you did good. You handled your business. We didn't have to help you none. I mean, you come in here looking like really skinny. But that, the devil will tell you that. You didn't read enough. You didn't pray enough. God's not going to hear you. God's not going to ask you. It's not based on all that. I need to be reading my Bible. Right? I need to know the truth. We went over that over there. And he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. The word is truth. I better know the word. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray. I need to go to church. I need to do all these things. Why? That's part of my relationship and being strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. But not to the point to where the devil can use that. Let the devil use that on me. If I didn't read enough to where I felt on the inside God was pleased with me, I'm sorry, Father, and I get the book out and I read some more until I feel pleased on the inside.
That's right.
Why? He's in here. But the devil will come to your mind and say, you didn't do enough. You know you should have did that when you didn't do this. Let's go on here. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That's what the devil's after. Because without faith, you cannot please God. The Bible says, whosoever, whatever, whoever comes to God must believe that he is, number one, he's God. And that number two, what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So therefore, God rewards those who diligently seek him, not tell them all the time, you never did enough.
That's right.
So I've got to have faith. And then he says, oh, and then you go back over there, what we talked about, Ephesians 6 over there, in the whole armor of God, and taking the shield of what?
Faith. Yes.
That I may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil.
Amen. Yeah.
Or the wicked one. So when he throws that out there, when I messed up, and he comes and tells me, you're not the righteousness of God, or you wouldn't have done that, right? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's not a blessed breastplate. It's believing I'm the righteousness.
Yes. Right.
There's not a literal breastplate. Good grief. It's 5-2. I got to stop. Somebody should have said something. Listen, y'all going to have to start going, whoa, hello, stop.
Take good.
Trouble here. I got to stop. So let's just recess to...